this Bible study always is about what the scripture says. I didn't write the word of God, obviously, and I'm not responsible for what it says. I'm only responsible for teaching it properly, not omitting nor adding to it, which means that sometimes I have to teach things that are fairly uncomfortable. Now, this is an open invitation to anyone. If you think I'm wrong, or if you think what I'm teaching is wrong, then I need you to email me, Nicholas@FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Nicholas@FirstAmendmentRadio.com, and show me the error of my way. Another reason I have a little trepidation about doing a study like this is because, well, I've met a young lady and fairly serious about her. What will she think when she hears this? Because she will hear it. We were having a little study ourselves on marriage and just going through the scripture, everything we could glean about marriage. And she brought up the idea of polygamy. And she said, I'd have a problem with that. Well, I'm inviting trouble right away because she said she'd have a problem with that. And here I am digging into the scripture and wishing that I could find in the scripture where it backs up our societal norm and teaches that Roman style monogamy is the only acceptable and anything else is adultery or whatever. Are against God's law, but I can't find it. I can't teach it if I can't find it in His Word. So I would have to omit it to keep my comfort level and to keep from possibly upsetting her and just about every other woman that hears this Bible study. Well, that's not fair that a man can have more than one wife, but a woman can't. That comes up a lot. A woman having more than one sexual partner is called a whore. That's what the Bible teaches. And a man having more than one sexual partner outside of marriage would either be committing adultery if he's with another man's wife or fornication. And, well, that is whoredom. I mean, if he's with a whore, then he's committing a whoredom. And that is against the law of Yahweh. Anyway, as I was saying, my young lady friend, who I'm very serious about, brought up the idea of polygamy, said, I'd have a problem with that. And I said to her, well, hypothetically speaking, if a man were married and the Lord sent him another wife and he consented to marry another wife, should his first wife have a veto power? Well, there was a long pause. I said, if she had veto power, wouldn't this turn God's authority structure for the family upside down? If Christ is the head of the man, and the man is the head of the woman, and Christ sends the man another woman to take as a wife for whatever reason, well, one of the reasons could be the law. The law requires the man to take his brother's wife and raise up seed to her, to his brother. Now, I know that law isn't practiced today, but nevertheless, it is the law. That's anathema to Christians, because Christians have embraced Roman-style monogamy and decided that it's a sin to practice what the law teaches. No comment. But yes, that would make the woman the head over Christ, who's the head of the man, and over the man, who's supposed to be the head of the woman. It would turn the family authority structure on its head. It would turn it right upside down. And that's all that we said about that. Which brings me to another point that I almost neglected. And I've heard this from more than one source, that God winked at their ignorance when it comes to the subject of plural marriage. Because you go, well, Jacob had more than one wife. David had more than one wife. Maybe, you know, we should look at David. And that was another objection that was raised. David was, well, look at the result of David having more than one wife. Look at all the trouble that came into his life. And what about Solomon with all those hundreds of wives? Certainly there's something wrong with that. Well, we discussed that briefly, and I guess we need to discuss it more in depth in the time we have left today. First, let's look at David and see exactly what kind of trouble he got into by having multiple wives. Maybe we can learn something here. Maybe we can find out that there's a good reason that man has imposed a law on top of the law of God, in addition to by not allowing a man to have more than one wife, at least in our society, because we know there are other societies that allow, even Christian societies, existing today that allow a man to have more than one wife, and historically also. But let's take a look at David's problems with his familial problems that many say were caused by him having more than one wife. Let's see what the scripture has to say about that. David's trouble began, and Samuel recorded this at 2 Samuel 11:3. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And he said, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him. And he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, I am with child. Oh, David took another man's wife. He committed adultery and got her pregnant. So what does David do? He tries to cover up his sin. So he sent for Uriah the Hittite. You know the story. Well, if you don't, maybe we ought to go over it briefly. And he got him drunk and sent him home, thinking Uriah will sleep with his wife, and then he'll think, and then he'll go back to battle, and he'll find out that his wife is pregnant, and he'll believe that the child is his. How cunning. Yes, people do wrong. They don't think right, do they? And, of course, Uriah would not go into his wife. And he said, not while my men are at battle. I'm not going to go and enjoy my wife. And so he was a righteous man. He was a good man. So finally, David sent Uriah because everything he tried failed. And, he sent Uriah, and he told his officers to put him in the front of the battle where he would die. And Uriah died in battle. And that was murder, because David put him there to kill him, to murder him on purpose. So now David compounds a sin of adultery with murder. So now we get to the crux of the story. And the Lord said Nathan unto David, and he came unto him, and he said to him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him. And with his children, it did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his own bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveller unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock, of his own herd, and to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb, and dressed it for the man that was come unto him. So you have a rich man, he's got his own flocks and herds, and this poor man had one little ewe lamb. And he was going to entertain someone, and he would not take one of his own flock and his own herd, but he went and took the poor man's only ewe lamb. That's the crux of this whole story that Nathan is telling to David. So he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come unto him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. Hey, David was moved emotionally by this story. He was moved to anger. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. Now listen up, people. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives. So here, Yahweh, God, gave David wives, not a wife, but wives as in plural, unto thy bosom, and I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah, and if that had been too little, I would moreover have given thee such and such things. What is God saying through Nathan to David? He could have taken another wife, but he went after another man's wife. He said, I would have given you such and such. I would have given you anything you asked for, David, any lawful thing. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight, and has killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and has taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon? Now here's the punishment. This is why David suffered, not because he had multiple wives. God gave him multiple wives. So God didn't punish him for having multiple wives. The evil didn't come about in his life by having multiple wives. It is because he sinned. And here is the severe punishment that came on David for his sin. Now therefore, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 10. Read the story for yourself. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 12 and read the whole story. Don't just take my word for it. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house. All that blood came upon his own house because of his sin. Because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For thou did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and under the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. And I want you to notice something else about disobeying the commandment of the Lord. David repented and experienced what? Forgiveness. But what still had to happen in his life? He still had to live with the consequences of his sin in the flesh. Violence never departed from his house for the rest of his life. He suffered greatly. His punishment in this life was severe, but he was not put to death, because the Lord, he says here, that Yahweh also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because this deed has given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore unto David, and it was very sick. And David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And we know what happened. That David fasted, he wouldn't eat or drink, and the child died after 7 days. And David got up and washed his face and went on with his life. But he did live with the repercussion of his sin. So don't think, you know, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, especially the once saved, always saved, that believe they can live a life of style of sin because they're once and for all forgiven. And then there are others that teach that you can break the commandments of Yahweh and it doesn't matter because the commandments were nailed to the cross. Well, I say, no wonder they suffer in the flesh for their sin. Many of them will be saved. Many of them will be saved in the resurrection. But in this life, they're going to suffer for their sins in the flesh because they despise the law of Yahweh. And many of them don't even repent because they really believe that. Well, for instance, take the least of the commandments, like the dietary laws. I would say those are the least of the commandments. And next to that is, well, you can add the Sabbath law. That's probably a least of the commandments. The greater commandments are those where you harm your neighbor. Those are the greatest, because when you harm your neighbor, well, you're hating Yahweh, because he says, well, as he said, to love Yahweh and love your neighbor as yourself. This is the greatest commandments. This was on this all the law and the prophets hang. This was the reason that he gave us the commandments, to love him and to love our neighbor as ourself. Okay, let's move on to our next point. Now, I told you my challenge with polygamy started when I met a man who had more than one wife. This man also heads a mission, and the mission is in Africa. Basically, he heads a mission, and what they do is they go into Africa and they minister, because traditionally men are allowed, in many cultures in Africa, men have been allowed to have more than one wife. And, you know, a lot of people think, stereotypes, that all the people in Africa are just ignorant tribesmen, you know, ignorant, you know, savages or whatever, the stereotype. But that's not so. There are many very intelligent black men who are Christians and have more than one wife in Africa. For many years, the missionaries that went over to Africa, if a man had more than one wife and wanted to convert to Christianity, they would force him to give up all of his subsequent wives except for his first wife in order to become a Christian. Well, needless to say, this stopped a lot of people from embracing Christianity, because what kind of religion would make a man put away his wives and all his children and send them away for salvation? Some did it because they believed that what they were taught by these missionaries who were pushing Roman-style monogamy on them with no scriptural reference, as we can see from the scripture. That there is no prohibition anywhere in the scripture, and that's a challenge against a man having more than one wife. That is, there is no prohibition. Nowhere is it called a sin or adultery. And I would challenge anyone again, once again, to show me the scripture. If you can show me, I will repent. I will change my mind and I will recant and start teaching the new revelation. That's Nicholas Arthur at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Nicholas at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Either way, it'll get to me. But why? Why would it be lawful to impose upon another society something that Yahweh, our Creator, does not require? And what about, and you know, that's probably one good reason why Islam is moving faster in these other countries where polygamy has been accepted, the accepted norm, well, ever since, for millennia, basically. Polygamy has been accepted as a norm. And, you know, just because polygamy is accepted doesn't mean that most people practice polygamy, but it means that many people do. And Islam allows a man to have six wives, and that's an arbitrary thing in Islam. The law of God, from what we've discovered, allows a man to have as many wives as he can take care of. And I'm sure there has to be a limit there somewhere. I guess we need to talk about Solomon, since we're talking about a limit on many wives. There is a term about in the Old Testament of multiplying wives, and Solomon being used as an example of that. And Solomon had hundreds of wives. And those wives, especially, he took wives of foreign nations, strange wives, as the authorized King James Version terms it, strange wives. He took strange wives, and he followed their gods. Truth is, I've had a difficult time with one wife at a time. And the idea of having more than one wife as well is not really something I would seek. But at the same time, I could not condemn anyone for practicing what God, Yahweh, has not prohibited in His scripture. And I believe that my friend that I've met, who has a mission and has missionaries in Africa teaching the truth, especially to families that are practicing this and making inroads into Islam and bringing many of those families into Christianity by not laying a burden on them that the Word of God does not lay on them. So that's a good thing. And that's a very important thing, that he's out there doing the work of Yahweh, teaching and converting those in Islam. He actually has a message, because Christianity will be rejected outright in Islam as foolishness. And you know, that's because their teachers teach them lies, even about their own book, the Quran, and have sway over them, in the same way that the corporate church has sway over Christians in this country and teach them lies. And one lie would be about polygamy, saying that the scripture prohibits it when it does not. And then at the same time, cursing and degrading Islam simply because they practice polygamy. And I've heard it many, many times from the pulpit, on teaching, on the air, that was one thing used to degrade Islam. And people who practice Islam is because, well, they allow them to, Islam allows their men to have six wives, and that's adultery, and on and on it goes, when they cannot qualify that as being prohibited or a sin from the scripture and the law of God. Practical application. Now, everyone knows, if they've listened to my Bible teaching program for any time, they know how I feel about abortion and birth control and family and patriarchy and government. Now, peculiar thing about the scripture, when it talks about nations, it uses the word ethnos, ethnic. We get the term ethnic. What does the term ethnic mean? Well, it means a particular race of people. But where did these races come from? And how did they maintain their differentness? And how did they become unique among the family of nations? Well, I think the key word there is family. They remain separate. Go to Japan today, and you'll find that most Japanese look fairly similar to each other. because the Japanese have maintained their genetic and compounded and within a family. It started out as a family, and that family decided not to marry outside their own nationality, their own ethnos. China, the same way. And that's how we got the families of the nations of the earth, because they would not marry outside, or they were segregated or isolated, and they started to look, they started to put on similar traits because they were only marrying inside their own ethnic community, their own family. And so we have the different families of the earth. And I believe that that's one reason that patriarchy or family government is such a threat to beast governments. See, because there's a difference between a beast government. A beast government embraces, like Rome was a beast government, because what did it do? It conquered. It became a one world government. Babylon conquered. It became a one world government. It took under its authority. Took by force, because that's what a beast government does. It takes by force, and it embraces or takes by force. I know it's a pretty uncomfortable embrace when you take something by force, and it brings it all under one government, and it tries, what it has to do is it has to destroy the family. It has to destroy the ethnos and bring it all together as one homogenized community. And that's why patriarchy, this whole idea of family, strong family government, and the love of having children, and a man having more than one wife, because how did Abraham become so great? How did the children of Israel become so great? Well, it certainly wasn't by Roman style of monogamy practiced with birth control and abortion, which is basically what we see today in America. What is the result? The result is a dying white race in America. The Angles are dying. And the rest of the ethnos, they look at us and they go, stupid white people. Stupid white men. And I agree. White people, Caucasians, have bought into this idea that children are bad, that they need to have as few as possible, and nobody should do more than replace themselves. While the other nations are having many, many children, and we're gonna lose. Simply because we're dying. They're not going to have to fight the Caucasians to take America. Just ask La Raza about the stupid white people. They're going to conquer us by sheer population. Behold, they are conquering us by sheer population. I came to California a long time ago, and the Caucasians were the majority. Well, a few years ago that changed. Now the Hispanics are the majority, and I am a minority. But I also see another trend, is that when the other ethnos come in here who have traditionally cherished having large families and a lot of children, they come to America, and what do? They become Americanized, and the women don't want children. They buy right into the whole Jezebel spirit. Because what is the Jezebel spirit? It's where the woman rules over the man, and of course, turns the family structure of Yahweh upside down, where the woman becomes the head, like Roman style monogamy is goddess worship, basically, because the man has to get on his knee and bow before the woman, put her on a pedestal. That's right, she is the goddess. And just look at the society, look at all the movies, look at the commercials. I'm your Venus, your desire. You've heard that one. That's what it's all about, goddess worship. I believe that Christians, if they had been obedient to God, to Yahweh and His first command, the first positive command ever given in the scripture, recorded, be fruitful and multiply. If Christians obeyed that, and there had been no prohibition against a man having more than one wife by tradition, what would have happened? Christians would have taken over the world by sheer population. We would have stormed the gates of hell simply by numbers. But because Christians have bought into this romance, have been dictated to by the Roman Catholic Church as to family structure, one, we're dying. That's right. Christianity is dying from disobedience. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. Yes, read that whole scripture, because you have rejected knowledge. He says that He will reject us. Have mercy on us, Father. Teach us to embrace your word, that we not be destroyed, and let us bless you in everything we say, in everything we do.